There are six things the Lord hates and seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. These are the things that pull at the very fabric of this thing we call relationship. And when they are present in the church, they destroy the atmosphere of, and this is a key word, cooperation. And ultimately, left unchecked and left to roam around, they will kill the community. Last week we were in verse 18 and we did the first part, the part before the comma, and this week we're going to go after the comma. And the verse 18, the second part, says in the NIV, feet that are quick to rush into evil. It's interesting when you start changing your translations and you move from one to the other and you pick up the good old and goldie, the King James. It says, feet that are swift in running to mischief. So maybe it's not evil. It was just a little bit on the mischievous side. The ESV, which is one of the newest translations out there, comes back in and it goes back to the word evil, but it changes a word. It says, feet that make haste to run to evil. Then we get to the NASB, which is kind of a more of a literal translation. It kind of goes word for word. We get feet that run rapidly to evil. And if you like it, and again, it has its place in the world, and the Message Bible, which is kind of more what we call a paraphrase Bible, says feet that race down there's our word from last week, wicked track. And the thing is, all four of these verses, that it starts with feet. And obviously, Solomon is not talking about physical feet here. You see, when I say feet, feet are all about motion and being on the go. When your feet hurt, you don't go nowhere, right? You want to sit down and you want to rest. Because it's just about walking, running, moving, going. So metaphorically, Solomon is talking about people that are busy with action, not in a good way. Paul comes along in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11, and he gives them a wonderful label. We hear some of you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy, they are busy bodies. So what is a busybody? Well, the good news is the dictionary does actually give us a definition, and it's a pretty darn good one. A person who pries into or meddles in the affairs of others. Usually if you're a busybody, we have another word that we attach to you. We call you nosy. Yeah, see, y'all are laughing at that one. Nosy people. Showing too much curiosity about other people's affairs. And as we looked at those verses Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians, Paul already points out these are people that are disruptive. And you know what? They always seem to be really busy, but really they are idle, especially when it comes to God's work. So there is a difference between somebody that is coming to you with accountability and somebody that's just being busy. Now, to go with the idea of feet, all of the translations point to acting with speed. We get words, quiet and quick, rush, swift, haste, rapidly, and race. And you know when you are doing things with great speed, most of the time you're doing so without giving great thought. You're just processing and moving. And that's important to note because the people that Solomon are talking about, those people that are quick to rush into evil, well, these people are constant, people in constant motion means that they care very little about the consequences of their action. And you know what? There are consequences. And you know what? None of them are good. They're all bad results. I mean, from Proverbs, we get evil, wicked, and mischief. I don't know anybody that says, well, those are good things to have in a church or in a family or in any kind of a relationship. Again, Paul calls them disruptive. They're knocking things away from where they're supposed to be. And really, this activity, it just creates chaos and confusion. So unknowing what Gary was going to be teaching in Sunday school this morning, I would like to thank Gary for the really wonderful introduction to our topic today. After pondering in prayer, I found a word to go with Solomon's lesson.
She's the biggest liar in all of this creation. You know, I never figured she was two-faced. 'Cause if she was, she wouldn't be wearing that one.
Okay, I got to tell you, when I started the clip, I had one person that I knew I was going to look at to see their facial expression. It was my wife. Because the second the music started, my wife and I are cringing. And you say, why? Well, if you don't know why, you obviously weren't a 1970s kid who you made sure on Saturday, you found at 7 o'clock, you made sure you found something or anything or somewhere or anywhere else to be besides in front of the television, because you knew exactly what your parents were going to be watching. Hee-hee-ha-ha. You knew it was going to come. And you know what? I guess it was a good show, I'll be honest with you. As soon as I was going to do the topic, I knew the video I was going to use with this, but I never really watched the show. But I do have a question for you. Why'd you laugh? Because it was funny, right? I mean, it was hilarious. Really? Did you laugh because you can relate to it? Maybe this isn't going to be such a fun sermon after all. See, that word gossip is found in the Bible 8 times in our modern translations. And interesting enough, there are only 2 writers that ever used the word that we translate gossip. One of them, obviously, is Solomon. The other one is the Apostle Paul. As a matter of fact, 6 times Solomon uses the word in the book of Proverbs. And the Apostle Paul follows it up with 2. The word is actually not in the King James translation at all. So here's the thing. If you want to not feel guilty about gossip, just switch to the King James, and you never have to worry about the word because it's not there at all. They don't use the word gossip. And maybe I just need to get over it. You know, since there's such little representation of the word in the Bible, maybe this just is no big deal, right? I mean, it's funny. It's cool. You know, while the word is not actually used all over the Bible, the idea is everywhere in the Bible. Take our Mr. Christianity in blue jeans. His name is James. He makes things so simple you just can't get them confused. Here's what he says about it. We put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us. We can turn a whole animal. Or take a ship as an example. Although they are large and driven by a strong wind, they are steered by a very small rudder. Wherever the pilot wants it to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set afire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. And maybe you're thinking, okay, Barry, how did you get from feet to mouth? I tell you what, when it comes to my mouth, I have no problem figuring out how the foot connects to it, because honestly, mine ends up in my mouth quite a few times. So today we're going to talk about gossip. And the action, because it does have two definitions in the dictionary, it is a verb, it is an action, it is a casual or unconstrained conversation or reports about other people, typically involving details that should not be discussed. Really, I thought it was just telling a funny story. It doesn't even have to be a dishonest thing. If it's not supposed to be shared, then understand you are gossiping. And since it's an action, there is a noun for the word gossip, and that is about the individual. So when you call somebody a gossip, you say they are a gossip. It is a person who habitually reveals personal or sensational facts about others. Now, I got to tell you, we live in a world that is obsessed by information. The internet gave an explosion of informational data, and well, what it's used for today, you can research in minutes what used to take maybe days or weeks to find. The internet then gave birth to this thing that we call social media, and well, the informational age was magnified by the obsession. After all, everybody's looking for the fresh take or the hot tweet, not the bird tweet. Okay, this is by something called X now. It used to be called Twitter, but it's about tweet. We used to report the news. Now we report rumors and opinions. We used to be people that gathered around a water cooler, a fence post, a wash tub to swap stories. Now they can go viral with a click of a button, and millions of people have access to our story. It's no longer a grapevine, folks, but a super-infused, high-powered network that truly makes the world, the word, mightier than the sword. Our little stories and our gossip problem used to be like campfires we gathered around. Thanks to the information age, it's like the brush fires that are raging through California right now. But I want you to know this is not an anti-technology sermon, because technology ain't the issue. The issue is people and sin. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they would do what they ought not to be done. They had become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. Oh, those are some strong words, Paul. Oh, he ain't done. No, they are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy, although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death. I don't know if I like that one, but it's in the list, folks. They not only continue to do these very things, but they also approve those who practice them. See, often we say gossip is no big deal because everybody does it. It's funny, when I was a kid or my friends were kids, they said everybody's doing it. You know, it's a constant reminder from your parents, all right? Well, if everybody else jumped off a bridge, would you jump too? You know, my parents never said that to me, because they're worried this is the kid that jumped off a bus. Who knows what he might jump off of? Just because everybody's doing it doesn't make it right. Interesting, Paul puts it right in the middle of the most of us would identify the most worst sins that we could think about. Murder? Malice? Oh, we've already talked about that one. Depravity. And there it is, my little bitty gossip. gossiping. It's right in the dead center. Count it up. Go ahead, count them up when you get home, and you'll figure out that this word is right around the middle of that passage. You see, because if you trace the verse back up, you'll find that all of these activities, including gossip, can be attributed to Romans chapter 1, verse 21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now, usually we like to preach that particular verse, and we're talking about all the great big sins, right? Go ahead, follow the thing on down there, and you wind up right at that thing of gossip fits in what we're doing. Thus, we need to remember this is not a cute subject that we should give a wave and a pass to. It is a dangerous killer that must be dealt with as swiftly as a tongue wags. And that means we got to be really quick. Because you know what? We talk an awful lot. And a lot of the speech that comes out of our mouth is just flat out gossip. And make no mistake about it, when it comes to gossip, there are some significant things that happen to the community. We're going to first go to Proverbs chapter 11, verses 12 and 13. Whoever derides their neighbor has no sense, but the one who has understanding holds their tongue. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. So just know that this is a double-sided effect. For the gossiper, yeah, this is you. Mm-hmm. It makes you look like you have a lack of sense. It says you are a betrayer and you are not to be trusted. Do you understand gossip is all about power? Somebody has shared with you or you found out about something in their life. How you decide to use that information shows how much respect you have, not only for that person, but God. By the way, I want to go ahead and get to a big issue in the church. If you're seeking prayer for them from God, and well, just so you know, God knows the need. You don't have to share it. The word unspoken prayer request, if you're in a public venue, works wonderful, and is perfectly acceptable. When you give details about things shared in confidence or that you found out through the grapevine, or the Facebook page, or the Twitter account, or the Instagram, or the Snapchat, or whatever the other medium that we've got out there, when you begin to share that information, then you understand it is gossip to the core. Even if all you did is retweet it or forwarded the post. Welcome to the information age, folks. Gossip has run amok. And not only is it impactful to the community, I mean, to the person, it impacts the community. Because for the community, it robs them the ability to share. Why is that important? Well, because the church was founded on the idea of meeting needs, right? We studied the first century church. We went all the way back to the beginning. We took our time week. We started our year there. And the church was all about meeting the needs of one another. Here's the thing. Not all needs need to be made public. Nobody is going to feel free to share in private or in person. Share in private a personal need when they fear they're going to be the next post on your Facebook page. If I can't come to my fellowship group and share a need and can't reasonably expect that it's not going to be your next news cycle post, then you understand. I've damaged the community with my speech. When you're sharing those needs and the person is out there, nobody is just going to be willing to share if you're going to react that way. And therefore, the needs are going to go unmet. We come into the buildings and we're afraid to tell people what are going on in our lives. And since I'm afraid to tell you what's going on in my life, then I've cut off the very power of the body because the blood doesn't flow. Have you ever taken a rubber band and you wrapped it around your finger? Okay, I did weird things as a kid, all right? And if you leave that rubber band wrapped around your finger long enough, what happens to your finger? First it begins to swell a little bit. And if you do it long enough, if you're skilled at this, you can let it turn blue to the point that your fingernail turns purple. Can't you tell that I've done this before? And the trick is, how long can you leave it on before you do permanent damage? Therefore, when it comes to gossip, I just want to tell you, if you feel the need to share to get help, you always need to ask their permission. Always, notice, capital letters, big yellow letters, always ask their permission, because if you do not, I don't care how good your intentions were, you are a gossip. Even if you cloak your gossip into, I know somebody that needs some prayer. Let me tell you their story. You know what you're doing? We're not one to go around spreading rumors. Yeah, that's what you're doing. They didn't give you permission to share it, but God heard it. So why do you feel need to give those details? Because it's about power. I want to be the one in the know. Look what I know, because look, I'm special. It calls attention to yourself. But make no mistake about it, it's a killer of our community. Matter of fact, Solomon says there is another issue when you come to the idea of gossip. I'm now over in Proverbs chapter 16, verses 27 through 28. A scoundrel plots evil. Here we are, we're back to that. A scoundrel plots evil, and on their lips is a scorching fire. Wow. These guys must have read James, or maybe James read them. I don't know, but they go hand in hand, because you get the idea that fire is what we get. And, well, unfortunately, a lot of times we like the idea of, I'll just light it and let it burn. But it's a fire. It says a perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. So let's take a look at the two sides of the coin. For the gossiper, you're a scoundrel, okay? We can put you right next to Mr. Grinch and all the other people that we talk about when we say bad, you're a scoundrel. I love the fact that Solomon piles it on. He says, you're perverse. You're warped. There's something wrong with you. If you take delight in sharing other people's misery just for your own personal gain, there's something wrong inside of you. It's perverted. Boy, I don't like to think about those words when it comes to my tongue. And it says, and ultimately what you're doing is all you're doing is talking, is you're creating conflict. We'll talk about conflict in a couple weeks, because it's got its own little bucket for this community killer thing. But for the community, the key word there is separation. And that word should cut deep to us. I mean, how many people have been sacrificed on the need-to-know desire altar? How many? How many people can you comb back through your history, and man, they were really active for God until somebody opened their mouth? Now we don't see them anymore. Or maybe they just went somewhere else, to another church, to another body of believers, someplace that was a little more safe. See, because here's how this works. Friendship is based on trust. And when the trust is all gone, the friendship goes away. You understand that, right? That if people are coming in the building and they don't feel like they can bring their burdens and lay them down and share what's going on in their life without being judged and without having it broadcast all over the universe, or even just inside of our own body, then we have violated the very principle of the church. There is no trust, and there is no place for the sinner to come and lay their burdens down. So you know what they have to do with them, don't you? They have to go out and buy themselves a great big suitcase and stuff it in the suitcase, and they have to drag it with them everywhere they go because there's nowhere to put it. And then they got to go home and look at that suitcase and look at that suitcase and think, what can I do with this? I got nowhere to go. Man, I desperately need somebody to talk to. But I just don't trust these people, because I know exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to be food for fodder. nobody's going to be able to understand what I'm going through. Now, who knows? Maybe they'll even tell the preacher and I'll be the topic of a sermon. Never, at least not while I'm standing up here. That's not the way it works. We got to learn sometimes tight lips are a good thing. See, gossip shows that you value your status as an information addict above the needs of a friend that is struggling. That's harsh, but that's what it is. You've made your need to call attention to yourself more valuable than the person that's hurting. That, my friends, is sad. And it's a killer. And what we'd like for Solomon to be done, but I told you there were six references, so you know I ain't done yet. Here we go, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 7 and 8. The mouths of fools are their undoing, and their lips are a snare to their very lives. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. Boy, I sure am glad Solomon wrote this, not me, but he just doesn't mince the words. For the gossiper, you look like a fool, at least in the eyes of the person that you're gossiping about. You look like a fool. He then goes on to say, you're becoming the very thing that ensnares people's lives that are trying to live for Christ. So you become a trap. And you know what happens to things that get caught in traps, right? We kill them, right? This isn't a catch and release. You're going to kill them because you've entrapped their life in your words of snare. And I like the idea that Solomon continues. He says, by the way, therefore the innermost part, the hurt, it goes all the way in. Whew. Folks, I just want to let you know something. People never get over it. And they're never going to be stopping talking about it. Once it comes out of your mouth and it's amongst the ears of another person and that person tells another. See, we could have done the adult VBS thing because we could have played the game where we all do the little whispering secret. We get to the end and it doesn't sound. You understand, nobody stops talking about it. And the person that becomes the subject never forgets what was done to them. In short, your 15 seconds of fame may indeed have pushed somebody away from Jesus permanently. Whew. Because gossip at its root is selfish. Boy, can we go back to the video? That was a lot more fun. No, we can't. In fact, instead of going back, we've got to talk about how to put an end to gossip. And I would love to tell you that I am a marvelous, fantastic, wonderful preacher. And the words that I've spoken here today are going to get out there. And we're posting this on YouTube. And so everybody's going to watch it. And everybody's going to give me little thumbs up. And you know what? We're going to lock this killer away for good. And gossip is done. Oh, please. At best, the only thing I'm going to be able to do is maybe detain it for a little bit. Just give you something think about. Because honestly, in the end, gossiping will never come to an end from the one doing the telling. But you know what? It very well could come to an end from the one doing the listening. Solomon tells Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. Age-old question, if a tree falls in the woods and nobody's around to hear it, does it make a sound? I've had this debate with my son before, and he's right. Scientifically, we know it produces sound waves. But here's the thing. Without a receptor, those waves go perfectly silent. Wow. Could it be that simple? Could I just, when I hear the gossip, look at him and just walk away? Well, that'd be rude. Trust me, just walk away from it. As a matter of fact, it says, if you know somebody's in the habit of doing it, don't just walk away from them. What does Solomon tell us to do? Don't get near them. Man, wouldn't that be terrible? They've got a fire burning inside of them. They can find no way to get the fire out of them. Maybe they'll explode. But you understand, as long as they have someone to listen, they're going to keep on talking. And they'll find the next story, and the next story, and the next life, and the next person. And you know what? As long as we are listening, as long as we're willing to gather around the washtub, they're going to keep on spinning the stories, and we're going to keep on killing the community. Because Solomon also tells us in Proverbs chapter 26, verses 20 and 22, just don't add fuel to their fire. Without wood, fire goes out. Yeah, that's the way it works. It's designed that way. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire. They like this idea of fire when it comes to this. Have you noticed this? I could like this talk just because it's talking about fire. All right. So fire is something that consumes everything around it. So is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the innermost part. So James tells us that the tongue is a spark that can create a roaring fire. And maybe I can't stop the spark, but you know what? I can absolutely give it no fuel to keep burning. Now keep in mind, there are two kinds of fire. You're talking to somebody that knows about fire here, folks. There are two kinds of fuels that you can give a fire. You can give it the dry stuff that you throw on it, and immediately it's like, poof! Or you can give it the nice big round logs that you put on top of it, and it's a slow burn. But if you want the fire to go out, you could deprive it of oxygen. Don't want to go that path, but you know what? I can deprive it of fire, of its fuel. I can take its fuel away, and guess what? You got nothing you can do. You see, often you can't avoid them, because trust me, they're good. Man, they're like snipers. They're like laying in wait, waiting for you to come through. You can't avoid them. They get you cornered. But you absolutely can say, not interested. Just stop. Because I don't want to hear it. And of course, while they're still trying to continue talking, then you can just walk away. Because you told them. I'm not going to lecture you. I'm not going to sit here and give you a lesson or a sermon on gossip. You can go on YouTube and get that now. But I'm not interested. I'm taking your fuel away from you. And trust me, that fire will go out. Because here's what you're going to find out. If they just can't give it up and you cut all their fuel off, they're going to go find another fuel supply, and it probably won't be here. And sometimes you just have to be okay with that. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. For now, let's just wrap this up with this little understanding here. We must choose to be wise with our words and not vicious with our voice. Paul writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 20, verse 20, "For I am afraid when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be. And you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear that there may be discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, slander, and gossip." By the way, if you're counting, that's all 8 references in the Bible to the word gossip. The gossip, arrogance, and disorder. See, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he's basically saying, yeah, I know you guys. We've got a relationship, and I'm coming. And I'm afraid. I'm afraid of what I might find. Am I going to find a community that is built on the idea that we care about one another, we love one another, and while we share our burdens, we do not spread them all over the universe? Or am I going to find the other? There's people that are full of arrogant strife, talking about one another, maybe even sometimes sensationalizing the story. Which one am I going to find? My only question to you is, which one honors Christ? That's not a hard choice, right? Hence the reason we're bringing the ending right where it is. We must choose to be wise with our words and not vicious with our voice.